It's Morning Becomes Eclectic at 89.9 KCRW. A set of music in the studio this morning. It's the Postal Service, and once again, thanks for coming in, guys. It's Ben Gibbard, who is, well, this is a side project, so I should tell everybody your other bands as well, Death Cab for Cutie. Jenny is from Rilo Kiley, Jenny Lewis, and Jimmy Tamborello is the laptop wizard from Duntel. We got to talk about how this band came together, because it is a side project, but it's kind of taking on a life of its own, right?
It kind of has, actually, yeah. I mean, it started very casually, and this is, we just played last night at the Palace, as the last show of a month of shows, and all of them are really, really great, and so it's been a pleasant surprise.
Tell us how you first started working on this, Ben. I guess it's you and Jimmy first came together, right?
Right. Jimmy asked me to do a song for the last Duntel record, and we just, in doing that song, This Is the Dream of Evan and Sean, we just hit it off really well, and it was really kind of a really fun, casual way to work on music. So we decided to maybe expand it out and try to do like a full length of similar material.
Now, this was about 3 years ago, right?
Not quite. I'd say about 2 years ago now.
Okay.
Spring of 2001.
So you started off working on that one song, obviously, for the Duntel record, and then decided, well, let's see what else we can do together, and I guess started sending music backwards and forwards between L.A. or Silver Lake and Seattle, right?
That's correct, yeah.
So I mean, how do you work like that? That's an intriguing way to work.
You know, it actually came a lot, it was a lot easier way to work than I'd ever thought it would be. You know, Jimmy would would program a song, and then he would mail it to me, and I would put it into my computer, into Pro Tools, which is another computer recording program, and I'd put it in there, and then I would just kind of make small edits as to the structure of the song, and, you know, kind of make it into something that I thought made a good pop song. And most of the time, you know, this whatever Jimmy sent me was perfect the way it was. But
and you'd be adding guitar and drums and vocals,
right? And I would kind of, you know, walk around with the song on headphones and kind of work on lyrics in my head, and then think, oh, it'd be great to have a keyboard part there, or maybe a guitar part there. And we just kind of, and I would do my work, and then send him the demo back, and then we would kind of just powwow on what we thought, you know, needed to be changed.
So I'm guessing this is happening every couple of months, but did you do the whole record like this?
Pretty much. I mean, yeah. There were a couple songs, This Place is a Prison, which we'll play in the second half, and I think one or two other songs. We actually, we sat together in a room, and, you know, we had done demos for them, but we knew we needed to do more work on them, and you know, actually did them together. But for most part, almost the entire record, at least, was written going back and forth between, you know, CDs in the mail, going back and forth.
Now, when did Jenny get involved in this picture?
Jenny, Rilo Kiley put a record out on Barsook Records, which is Death Cab for Cutie's label, and we had never met, but I just cold called her one day because I thought, Jimmy and I thought, it would be nice to have another voice in the mix here, so it's not just my vocals, and it made sense that, you know, Jenny lived in Los Angeles, and, you know, I just called her one day, and...
Yeah, I was actually in Nebraska recording the last Rilo Kiley record, and at about 9 in the morning, in perfect Ben Gibbard fashion, my cell phone rang, and it was a Seattle number, and I answered it, and it was Ben Gibbard, and we had never spoken before, and he asked me, and knowing Death Cab and being a huge fan, I, of course, agreed to do it.
Now, were you intrigued straight away because of your respect for the work you'd done with Death Cab for Cutie?
Yeah, I mean, that, and also just the sort of friendship that exists when you're on a label with another band, even if you haven't met, there's a certain sense of camaraderie.
Well, there's a big camaraderie between bands on the Barsook label and a number of smaller labels in the middle of the country right now that are putting records out from people all over the place, right?
Yeah.
We had, who do we have in here the other week? Oh, we had Connor from Bright Eyes in here the other week, and he was talking a little bit about the whole Saddle Creek thing as well.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable. It's amazing to have a great support system that consists of, you know, outstanding songwriters and brilliant bands, so I feel pretty lucky. And now this is an extension of that. I think it was born, you know, out of friendship, and so it's pretty exciting. Mm-hmm.
So over the course of a year and a couple of trips to L.A. For Jimmy, then you've got yourself a record. And how did you end up putting it out? And obviously the Postal Service, it's pretty clear where that name came from.
Yeah, pretty clear. Although you'd be surprised how many times people ask, have asked on this tour. It's like, you got to be kidding me.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it was really kind of, you know, we just kind of did it in spare time. And every couple months I'd get a package and we'd work on stuff that way. And, you know... I think that having Sub Pop interested in putting out was kind of the drive to get the record done. I mean, because when we first talked about doing you know, more material like this, it was kind of casually thrown around as, oh, maybe we'll do an EP or do a single or something like that. So, you know, when Sub Pop came into the fold and was like, hey, we'd like to do a full length, it kind of drove us to actually complete the entire thing.
But you're obviously all committed to your other bands as well.
Of course. Yeah.
How does the Postal Service fit into that, to be able to find the time to go out and tour and support a record like this? And as we said at the beginning of the conversation, it is taking on a life of its own. I mean, to sell out the Palace is no mean feat.
Right. You know, I think that it's, people have asked along the way, you know, how do you find time to do this? And it's really not, there's really a lot of time in the year that, I speaking only for myself, that Death Cab for Cutie is not active. I mean, we're at this point now where we're almost done with a new record and we've, you know, we tour here and there, but, you know, Christopher Waller, our guitar player, is really busy doing a lot of recording projects as well. So it kind of worked out nicely that, you know, we, in Death Cab, at least, we're able to plan out our years now and say we're going to be in, okay, we'll tour here, we'll record here, you know, and, you know, we'll have this month off and, you know, away from everything. So, and that's, it just kind of worked out that, you know, we had this month off and, you know, we were going to book a tour for Postal Service and Chris was going to be working on the new Travis Morrison record. And it was just like, oh, that's, yeah, we'll do it. And, you know, but it also causes kind of little logistical problems where, you know, for example, in the next couple of months, we're going to be going to Europe and then 4 days later, I go to Australia with Death Cab for Cutie. So, you know, it's going to be a busy year with both bands in full swing.
And that's going to be a huge head shift for you, I would imagine, to slip back into your other persona within 4 days and on the other side of the world, I might add, as well.
Yeah.
Jet lagged.
Yeah, it'll be interesting, but you know, I kind of feel like when I'm wearing a certain hat, I'm wearing it completely. So, I mean, on this tour, it's been like strictly Postal Service, and then as soon as I get home and tomorrow, we're jumping right in the studio and you know, getting right back to doing Death Cab stuff.
Just one more question before we get back to the next set of music. It's mm-hmm. intriguing to me that this is a meeting of two what I would have thought were very different worlds, the independent music worlds of Seattle and Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. Was it complicated? I mean, is there anything in that, or was it just really simple, just people loving music and getting together?
It was really simple. I mean, I don't think that, you know, we, as we were talking about doing this record, there was never any talk of, you know, what, you know, I don't think any of us were really concerned as far as what, you know, what indie kids were going to think of, you know, me doing this, or electronic kids, you know, thinking about what Jimmy was, you know, doing a project with somebody like me. So, I mean, we just kind of went for it and did it and didn't really care what, you know, if there was going to be any kind of weird backlash from, you know, either world not liking,
right?
You know, not liking their two musics combined.
Well, it's great. I mean, you really have brought together those two different sides of the independent music rock world anyway, and congratulations on the record. We're going to throw it back to you guys for another set of music, and then we're going to come back and give away some copies of the CD. So thanks again for coming in. We'll come back and do our thank yous in around about 14 minutes or so, but right now it's back to you guys.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks.